This is Jawa Chatter, a Star Wars podcast for those who love the series and a new guide for those who want to know. No,
that's not a new guide. I mean, you're close.
A guide for those who want to know more?
Let's go with it. Welcome in, friends. Utini.
That was terrible.
It is Jawa Chatter. Star Wars podcast for those that love the series and a guide for those that want to know more. Welcome in. How's it going? You will notice again that we are nerdy free, and we do apologize for that. For those that didn't listen to my intro on episode one or watching the videos on YouTube, and again, if you're not subscribed to YouTube, I'm going to take this moment to tell you right now to do so.
Please.
Because we're going to have a lot of Star Wars content coming out on the channel this summer. And so, nerdy, here's what's up. We went to Star Wars Celebration, and afterwards, we all jetted off, and like Nerdy had to basically go do a job that he's at for the next couple weeks. He just has been slammed for the past couple days. And Kenobi, as most of you know, has just been pumping it out. Like two episodes while we're at Star Wars Celebration, and Claude and I just now put up the reviews, and they're all going at the same time. We got one, two, and three today happening, both on YouTube and all podcast platforms. So the plan going forward is next week, it will be the three of us again. We will release two episodes. One will be Star Wars Celebration, the experiences we had, the fun we had, but also all the series that we saw there that are coming out in the next like 8 months, and the crazy stuff that we saw in cosplays, like everything. It's gonna be a fun, really fun episode. Even if you didn't go to Star Wars Celebration, it's gonna be a fun one to listen to as well. And then we're going to have another episode drop closer to after episode 4 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that'll be a deep dive of the episode with all three of us. So we are going to get back on track with all that. For now, it is just Claudia and I. And for those that you just missed Nerdy so badly, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
I mean, we will go over some of the highlights that like are pretty deep into the Star Wars stuff, especially because there are some pieces on this episode where, yes, we will lean on him and the discussion between Jeffers and Nerdy, where I cannot contribute as much.
Well, I mean, Jawa Chatter is about everybody, newcomers, yes, and, you know, those that
we're going to be welcoming, you know, to us. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, like, there, you know, Claudia and I, we can manage. We're not going to give a little deep dive detail, know every species right off the top.
This is like a little
red
recap. It's not like the in-depth
review.
No,
it's a review. It's a review.
it's an absolute review. But it's not an in-depth one. So,
well, it's not a breakdown video, if that's what you're looking for. It is definitely an in-depth review. We go over the entire episode, but it is not a breakdown piece where we break down every tiny little thing you see, because that would be a very long episode. And, you know, when it's the three of us, it's a bigger discussion, and that'll happen next week with episode 4 and the episodes after that. So,
and yeah, I think we'll even touch on some of those points on that episode 4 as well. So,
oh yeah, it always happens. We always are doing callbacks because, I mean, you know,
because we have, you know, little squirrel brain, squirrel, you know.
That's true.
That's our Star Wars brains in our podcast, obviously, if you have been listening. So, we promise he will be back. He's just busy with the show, and we will all be together again.
We'll all be Labradors. Anyone know that line? Anyone? No?
Bueller? All right.
All right, cool. Moving on to Star Wars, Episode 3, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And if you haven't listened or watched on YouTube, our other two episodes, they're up. You know, the YouTube ones went up earlier than the audio ones, so just another reason to subscribe on YouTube. All right, so here we go. We start out with, obviously, the revelation for Obi-Wan. Very quick recap that he has just discovered that Anakin Skywalker is alive.
Bum, bum, bum.
And what's the best thing to happen when you have a bombshell of a life revelation dropped on you? What do you want most? You want a child asking you a bunch of questions while you're trying to come to terms with how your best friend, brother, person you love is actually not dead. That's what you want. And one of the only hopes left in the galaxy as well in the future. That's what you want, right? Yep.
Totally. You're not going to have a complete mentee bee.
Nah, mentee bee. Mental breakdowns.
Cool. But that's like the cute name for it. The little cute mentee bee.
Okay. All right. So we start with... Love God. So we start with Obi-Wan really reaching out once again for the third episode in a row to his master Qui-Gon Jinn, who he's not hearing from. He is calling on the Force phone, and Qui-Gon is a little busy. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's not picking up.
Yeah. I used to call you on my cell phone, and then he did not answer. I'm full of dad jokes today, guys. I'm sorry.
I hate it here. Nerdy comeback. No. Yeah, no, it was interesting because I think Obi-Wan feels more weirdly finding out about Anakin. He seems to feel more alone than ever, which is ironic.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Leia's like asking him. He's like, "You're still hiding something." Like there are a lot of pieces.
He is.
He's you know kind of fracturing. You kind of feel like he's falling apart at the seams. They finally get to the mining planet after this,
which
right?
Which is interesting because he can't fall apart because he has to get her to safety. He has to keep them alive.
The adult figure
right.
when he is falling apart. And there's someone literally who's 10 years old relying on him. It's not an option for him to fall apart at all.
Which makes me think Reva maybe dropped that bombshell for multiple reasons, really to get inside his head.
Oh, it worked.
And like, you know, disrupt his thought process.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and it has worked.
So we go to the mining planet, which is called what again?
Man, I looked it up 3 times before we did this. Mapuzo. It's a weird name.
It is a weird name.
Mapuzo. And it is a mining planet, and it is mentioned early on because Leia is asking Obi-Wan about the planet that, you know, basically kind of why does it look like this, et cetera. And Obi-Wan's like, it didn't always look like this. This was it had villages,
farms and
fields of people and all these things. And you look around, and it's very desolate.
Barren.
Empire, little outposts everywhere.
We found out later it's like a mining thing, but it's for like batteries and stuff.
Something valuable. So they've stripped it and they've cleared out people as they see fit. And that's how it goes. And you can tell Obi-Wan obviously has no love for the Empire, which, you know, very clear. Which is ironic because who they run into is the Empire's biggest supporter.
Well, even before that, though, there's an interesting conversation between him and Leia. It's like, well, you know, I thought the Empire was doing good stuff. Like, I thought that
right,
they were helping
true.
Us. She has this perception that's obviously been shadowed because not like her father, Bail, can tell her, like, you know, the Empire is evil.
No, he doesn't want her stuff. Spouting that because
no,
that she
because
will.
Then that will ruin his position in Senate for one. It will ruin a lot of things.
Well, she says that to the wrong Imperial. Like, that's not going to go well. This is a dictatorship. You do not talk badly
poorly.
About your dictatorship. I mean,
absolutely not
to the dictatorship.
And that was an interesting little play. It's like, oh, she's really not aware. She's like, I thought that the Empire was helping us all. Like, just it's the conception or like the preconception of all of this. And then, you know, how has she been fed these lies? But she knows nothing because she's never left her system. She's never left Alderaan.
Yeah.
And it's a sheltered lifestyle and for a reason. It's like, he even says, like, your father is trying to help in the Empire and the Senate, but
doesn't seem to be going anywhere is what he basically said.
Pretty much. Like, there are people that are trying, but at the end of the day, like, you're fighting against a much larger force and a lot more
regime.
Evil. Yep. Absolutely.
So we have Leia, who's like the optimist. Kid like optimism. And then we have Obi-Wan, who is the weathered, seen some shit. Basically, at this point, I don't want to say narcissist, but like he just realist. Like he's seen it all. And he does go into negative town a little bit, though. You know, they're walking, going to the meeting point that their friend gave them from the previous planet. And they're not even there that long. It is, he
not
looks around.
Long.
There is nothing, right? There's nothing around. Like, I kind of get it. But he doesn't wait. He doesn't do anything. He's just like, nah, screw it. This is we were lied to. I don't know why I even trusted this guy. He's very quick to
it's
dive
like
into
under
that.
A minute. Like, it's not long at all, and he just falls apart.
I think just everything. I think when the person you love and trust the most, aka Anakin for him, does what he did, you know, goes to the dark side, helps kill all the Jedi, kills younglings. I think your faith in all of any beings
humanity.
In the galaxy is done. Like, I think that's just where he's at in his life. And like, I think they're doing a great job of portraying a broken Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this isn't the Obi-Wan we know from the prequels. It's not even the Ben we know from
New Hope.
New
he
Hope.
Still hasn't had that point of hope yet, really.
Yeah, he doesn't have hope.
He's got nothing. No,
he doesn't believe in anything. And you know, you have this experience happen to you. And why would you have hope in anything or anyone?
And I think with seeing him in this light, even just the beginning of this episode and then kind of summing up the past 2 episodes, I know he says he's there to watch over Luke, but I also think, honestly, he keeps himself there and what he's doing as a form of punishment for himself. He
absolutely
has a lot of self-loathing, and I think it's never more apparent than the way he speaks in this episode and how quick he is to not only be negative, but snap at Leia. Like, and it's not because she's a kid. It's because she's snapping when she says something optimistic. Yeah. Especially about people. He's like, not everyone's good, Leia. Like, you know, and that's not Obi-Wan that we have grown accustomed to, but it is a very realistic depiction of what this Obi-Wan at this time in his life is probably like.
And everything that he's been surrounded with. I mean, he's been surrounded by so much negativity. Like, you think that meat factory is conducive for happiness and optimism? No.
No.
Is punishment across the board. And it's something that we're going to see, you know, the parallels with later on this episode, which is a great juxtaposition of the overall, you know, what he believes and what's the actuality.
Yeah. So they bail very quickly and they run into, like I said, the Empire's biggest supporter, Frick.
Nice little flag on the back.
Yeah. So they run into Frick because Leia flags him down because she's like, well, we need help.
Well, she's Luna at this moment.
Sorry, she's Luna. And they are farmers.
And of course, she was told not to talk.
And she immediately talks. Yeah. This kid is hilarious. Anyway, so, you know, at first he seems really nice and like, you know.
A little farmer vibe.
Yeah. He is literally, whatever his species is, and I don't know what it is, he's a mole. He's literally just a mole. He moves like his mouth. Like it's kind of weird. But
look like little hands at the end.
But we then discover, like, when they go to the back of the flag that Claudia spoke of, and just him basically, as they get in, talking about, like, the positives of the Empire. Like, nothing wrong with a little bit of order, am I right? Like, I'm just like, oh, boy, this guy is drinking the Kool-Aid. But what I found interesting about this, though, is you've got to know that even in a galaxy like this, even in a lot of oppressed beings and species, you're going to have people like this.
That benefit from this.
That benefit from it, that like it. Everyone's different, and some people just love.
And then aren't just aristocrats. Like, we saw it in the first episode with, you know, Brea's brother-in-law, you know, her sister's husband.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, we're finally making money from, you know, slavery, all this stuff. Like, this
he's empire having a good time.
Is helping us a lot.
Yeah, he's having a good
so
time.
There's plenty of supporters that see
the yeah, not everybody.
Good in it for
yeah.
them. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the good in it for the galaxy.
Yeah.
But they don't care. They care about their own well-being.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point. We got a parallel. We got the common folk farmer.
Yeah.
And a in-power politician. And so it's kind of bridging that gap and kind of like showing people that, like, you know, it's not just, you know, the empire that likes the empire. It is everyone down from, you know, the common worker to politicians. And there's, I'm sure, in between as well.
All the way up. Yep.
Yeah. And so it is an interesting thing they throw out there. And I think it's noteworthy for the storytelling. So I think it's a good call.
Yeah.
And so we go on the back of the farm tractor truck thing. And not too long into it, they pick up a small squad of stormtroopers. Which, you know, things get very tense very quickly. You know, they're stormtroopers. And, you know, any time we've watched them in any form of the movies, they ask questions no matter who's around them.
Yeah.
I'm actually only surprised they didn't never ask for his ID.
Right. Well, they were more asking, like, oh, Frick, where'd you get these guys? Oh, like, their farmer and daughter.
Yeah, he didn't throw them under the bus or anything. So that was cool. But, you know, then they start asking them questions, and they had to make up a backstory on the fly. But it was mostly Leia at this point making up the backstory. Luna. And she does a really good job, because I really just don't think Obi-Wan's in the state of mind
to lie.
To really lie or be good at this right now. Let's face it, this guy's barely spoken to people in 10 years.
Yeah.
He's not the Jedi he was at this moment in time. And he still just had this rare recent revelation about Anakin. He's just not in a good spot right now. He's doing his best. He's definitely trying. But that's easier said than done. He's just not really there. So it's a good thing she takes over. And the problem is, though, and he does roll with it. He kind of gets in the swing of things. But she says something, and he accidentally says Leia out of habit. Because they just started this farce.
Well, they just said, like, you know, we're visiting this planet because this is where, you know, my mother
she
and
said
my...
That.
Well, I know
she
that
made that great story.
It was a great backstory. It's like where they met. And, you know, then he's like, why did you call her Leia? You said her name was Luna. And that was like a very tense moment. And finally, Obi-Wan was able to lie very well. He was like,
yeah, he pivoted,
you know,
well.
It was like, you know, that was her mother's name. This is a really tough time. Like we said, you know,
I'm not in the right state of mind.
I see her mother and her a lot.
And that
was an interestingly accurate piece.
Yeah.
And it's touched on it right after they leave.
And it's funny because within the line, this very, very tense moment, because it's very tense. Because I'm kind of like, is he about to have start swinging the lightsaber?
He was like, are we going to clash like lightsabers?
Right.
Are we going to see a lightsaber?
Yeah, yeah. But that brief window when he says that, he's being very genuine and like looking at Leia again very fondly. I like he would Padme like a friend. And so that was interesting to see, like that little beautiful moment in this very tense moment. I liked that a lot. Like that was really good.
A lot of callbacks back to Padme, like we said on the
really
previous
good,
ones.
Really good writing. So they eventually, you know, they just went to their next spot and they got off and there was no problem. And it was lovely. But then, you know, Leia knows something's up. And she has known for a while, but she really brings it up quietly on the back of the back of the farm tractor truck
after
thing.
The stormtroopers
get after off. They're gone, it's just them. The car's loud enough to the point where he can't hear because they're not talking loudly. And she's like, I knew you were like keeping something. And she just basically asked, you knew my real mom, didn't you? And he's like, are you? And then she very quickly makes the leap to, are you
my father,
my real dad, like biological dad? And he goes, I wish that were true, but you know, I'm not. And I just want to make sure that nobody jumps to conclusions here. I feel like I haven't read the discourse because we just finished the episode. But if anyone jumps to the conclusion that they think Obi-Wan was into Padme, that's not why he said that. I guarantee somebody on the internet's gonna be doing that. He said that because the truth about who her father really is absolutely heartbreaking. He wished he could say that he's her father and that she has somebody that cares about her. But instead, it's somebody who doesn't know about her and, you know, is a, you know,
Sith leader,
homicidal maniac, really, at the end of the day. But, he does touch on her mother without saying her name. And then we get a really, really unique moment that I wasn't expecting. He talks about the Jedi and kind of their indoctrination process.
Yeah, he was talking about, like, I don't remember my own parents. Like, I remember my mother's shawl, and I remember
glimpses of things,
and mm-hmm. I remember a baby. I think I had a brother, but I don't remember.
We have never heard Obi-Wan talk about anything related to his
and
family.
And also
ever.
Haven't, he's like, and then I got a new family. And I think that's part of the pain is like he...
His family's gone.
His They're family's dead. Gone. Anakin is on the dark side. Leia is almost like a grandchild to him in some ways. You know, when she called him like, what are you, my grandpa? Like,
one
it's
that he
funny.
Can't even be around though either.
No, of course not. But it's a funny like full circle moment.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense like she was joking with him like, oh, maybe my grandpa. It's like, almost is like that for...
It is.
And also, it also calls on the Jedi way. And I was like, this is kind of dark. Like, you're literally taking a child from its parents to go into the... Like, the fact he doesn't even remember them, that's really hard. It's really like being an orphan.
Yeah. I'd also like to think of Obi-Wan more as a uncle. I don't really think he's a granddad age, but, you know, Daddy Kenobi can do whatever he wants, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Well, she's 10, so everyone feels old after the age of, like, 20, you know?
Good talk. Yeah, so that was a very interesting moment. I actually really love that conversation, not just because of the callbacks to Padme and Anakin, but also like seeing a vulnerable Obi-Wan talk about something that I've never heard him talk about and didn't know he even remembered anything about his family, even if they're only like images, glimpses, like him mentioning a brother, like interesting. I loved it, and I thought it was really well done, because at that point she had kind of figured something out and he kind of had to give some information, and he gave more than she asked for, and I thought that was good because he needs to create that bond of trust.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was good. And then so we keep riding along. About when the time they're done with this conversation, we reach
a checkpoint.
Yeah, it's what it is, a checkpoint. Laser door, laser wall. And he's like, frick, we're gonna, can we just get out? And he's like, nah, I know these guys. It's fine. And, you know, at this point, it's not looking great. This is about the time they ask you for your identification.
But Frick, I'm like, maybe, because he's like always here.
I never trusted Frick. He gets out and he quietly says to the stormtroopers, I picked them up.
I picked up some strays.
I thought you might want to check them out. This guy is the biggest Empire fan ever, and I hate him. I hate him. I hate him a lot. But it's fine. So the stormtroopers are already on alert. They go over to check up on him. It's not looking great. They ask him to get out. And they, you know, he's got his hood on. He's trying to keep like a low profile. And then the probe droid starts coming over.
That happened a little bit earlier when Reva took charge of the hunt for Darth Vader. Didn't forget that.
My bad. Let's quickly go back to that. There was a cutaway, and it was very brief. It was, you know, Reva with the other two Inquisitors that are left. I'm not going to address the Grand Inquisitor thing right now because I just don't know how many people are listening have seen Rebels or Clone Wars. I will say currently it does not quite make sense timeline-wise. However, we have three more episodes, so I don't know. I don't see a body currently, so I don't know. So I'm just not going to touch on the Grand Inquisitor right now.
Right.
But she's trying to vie for power, it seems.
It seems like a political push for power. She talks to Vader, and he's like, you know, if you do this successfully, the Grand Inquisitor is yours as a position.
Before that, he says, though, you'd be closer to what you want. And then later in the conversation, he talks about being Grand Inquisitor. So here's my thing with Reva. And if Nerdy was here, I'll just lay this guy's. He'll feel the same way. He is not sold on Reva. I haven't talked to him since he saw episode 3, but I would guess after this episode, probably not sold. He called her one note. And right now I agree. I'm a little confused after that conversation of, is it it's one of two things. A, she does just want to be Grand Inquisitor, but I don't think that's it. The way she was talking about it with Vader makes me think that getting to Grand Inquisitor gets her closer to something else, something important. I don't know what that is or not, and I'm wrong. If that's the truth, though, honestly, if she's just vying for power, she is very much a one-note character. I hope that's not the case.
It'd be pretty disappointing, honestly.
It would. I'm not really sold on her personally. If this all just ends up, because we've not seen this character in future things, if it just ends up with she dies by Vader's hand because she ends up failing, then that's going to be kind of sucky, in my opinion. But again, I don't want to jump to those conclusions. I don't know what's going to happen. We still have half the show left. But right now, currently, the actress is doing a great job, and the character when in scenes is doing well. But the overarching story of the character, yeah, it's not been that interesting, personally.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it is one-dimensional. And even when we flash a little bit further forward, and it's the three of them, it's the third brother, it's Reva, and fifth sister?
Yeah, I believe so.
And, you know, the third brother is like, that's not your chair. Like, I'm next in line. Yeah. That's not you. He's like, you're going to get what you deserve, and I'm going to get what I deserve. And she pans at the end. She's like, I hope that's the case, because she obviously believes that she deserves this.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And, you know, obviously we're going to see more of this power grab hungriness within the Inquisitor squad.
Because then we have a quick scene where he actually contacts Vader when they find them from the probe. Before she does. So it's kind of like, all right, I don't really care about your guys vying for power for Inquisitors, honestly, but sure. So that's the only negative I really had kind of about this episode was like, it's not even much of a negative, right? Because it was very quick. It's just more from a storytelling perspective, I don't find it that interesting personally.
But I'm hoping it gets more interesting. Right. That's what I'm hoping for. Exactly. But like, I'm trying not to judge too much, but at the end of the the series, we see, you know, hey, it's just a power grab. I'm going to be a bit disappointed with
at least that part.
That part of this arc.
So at this exact same time, like right before that, obviously we're talking about the probe droid came up with the stormtroopers. Obi-Wan knows it's over.
Starts blasting left and right. Starts
blasting with the blaster again. Still haven't seen
so uncivilized.
Yet. So uncivilized. But, you know, he didn't blast the probe in time. It knew it had him before he did it. He has to fight the stormtroopers and has to kill Frick. And you know what? I'm not upset about it.
No, he doesn't kill Frick, I don't think. I think he just knocks him out. He knocks him out. Oh,
we'll regret that later. And then the stormtrooper, one of the stormtroopers, he shoots off the tower, falls onto the laser door, and literally gets cut in half. Like one of the most brutal storm, I think the most brutal stormtrooper death I've actually ever seen.
It was weirdly satisfying though. I was like, dang, I wish I had a knife that sharp for cutting meat, not for people. I swear, that's kind of messed up. I should cut that from the podcast.
I'm concerned. All right.
No, but I feel like my knives are really danger. Dull. No.
All right. Anyways, so movie. If you guys, if you don't hear from me, you know what happened. All right. True crime podcast will be over that.
Oh my god.
Imagine that, a true crime podcast talking about another.
What was that?
A true crime podcast talking about a Star Wars podcast murder. Okay, so they get away obviously, and they make it to the nearest village. And
well, hold on. He also shoots that stormtrooper that got Leia. He's like putting down his gun. That was a good little move.
I thought I was going to use the Force, and Obi-Wan really is avoiding
the lightsaber.
The lightsaber, the Force. You've only seen him use it once, just to catch Leia from the falling building from the roof, and have not seen him ignite the lightsaber yet.
Not once.
Not one time. So that's been very interesting. I think he just doesn't really trust his own abilities because it's been so long.
He's not confident at all.
And in some ways, he might even be a little bit scared, honestly, of using the Force at this point.
Yeah. So we have the three stormtroopers come up with a commander, and we think, oh no, like we're outgunned. We're going to be backed into the corner.
Nah.
And then the commander shoots all three of them. And we realize that this is the person that was supposed to meet us at the coordinates. And she was like, I tried to get you, but like there was a high alert at this point.
Lockdown. And you didn't wait. Yeah. And I think that was interesting because it kind of called back to like, Obi-Wan made a mistake because he didn't trust somebody. People. He didn't trust like his contact. Like he just should have given it more time. Instead, they put themselves in more danger, but not just high, and they could just hit out in that one spot.
Right. And then we move forward and they check both ways. They go into their hideout, which was an interesting spot. And, they have this droid in there, big droid. And he doesn't speak. And Leia's like, well, why can't he speak? And she's like, actions speak louder than words, which leads up to a little bit later here in the episode as well.
But it's funny. She's like, what if he has something to say? Like, yeah. Leia very much like
believes in droids' rights. We've seen that in the first episode, too.
She believes in like droids. She treats them like any other living
being.
They're
not servants, like her cousin thought.
Well, which is interesting because we've talked about it on this podcast with Nerdy, and it becomes, if you think about it too much, it becomes a little problematic because like the more we get into Star Wars, the more we see like a droid like Lola or R2 or BB-8 or Chopper, or and just the list goes on, right? They have their own personalities. It's kind of like they're servants, or are they droid slaves? Like it gets sketchy. It gets a little. So she treats them like all living things, which is lovely. And
they also threw out Lola's actual, number. I was like, oh, so it's not just Lola. She's actually got a like number.
I figured it was an abbreviation. But I was, I'm always curious waiting to see her say it. So that was good. I like that. And our commander here puts them in. She tells them this is she opens another door within the supply room because she said this is all automated. This is just a supplier droid. Nobody comes in here. And they go into this what they call a safe house because it's like a back door. And this is when things get a little interesting between all three of them, and especially it's kind of like what's going on in the galaxy. Because remember, Obi-Wan's sheltered himself for 10 years. He doesn't actually know what's going on really much in the galaxy. He's probably very rarely been off of Tatooine, if at all.
Probably not. Yeah, he's probably just got Luke there and then just hid.
Yeah, and so she tells them, like, because he asks, what is this? She's like, it's a safe house. We have them all over the galaxy.
A lot of people that risk their lives to help Jedi.
Yeah. Any force sensitives,
and force sensitive children. We don't know what happens.
We don't see them again. So we do our best to get people out. And she goes, a lot of Jedi have come through here. And Obi-Wan looks shocked because I really, truly think Obi-Wan thinks there's no one left but himself and Yoda.
And the one that just died.
And that guy just died. Well, he probably thinks there's maybe like a tiny, tiny handful, but
that are going to get themselves caught like Nari did.
Right. But she makes it sound like, yeah, there's a decent amount that came through here. And he starts like reading the walls and he makes an interesting discovery. Quilan Voss. And for those, the thing is, this name's not going to hit for a lot of people unless you've seen Clone Wars. Like, it didn't click for Claudia.
I've only gotten through season one with the group, obviously. Right.
But Nerdy's dropped the name before. I don't want to say too much, really, because, again, like, I think some people who listen to the podcast, and including Claudia and Claris, are going to, you know, go through Clone Wars. I will say this. His character is a Jedi, and it has ties to Asajj Ventress. And he's given, like, episodes in the show and a tie-in book, but his arc is left like
cliffhanger.
Open, like it's open, like it was never closed. We don't know what really happened to him exactly. We just know that he's maybe most likely alive. Like he probably survived, and he's an interesting Jedi. This is another Jedi that broke the rules a lot. Sound like anybody you know? And on top of that, he has, if I remember correctly, he has the same unique force power as Cal. It can get memories off of objects, if I remember correctly. So that's an interesting piece as well, if that's still canon, which I'm pretty sure it is. So yeah, that was huge for me, and I feel like that name wasn't dropped for no reason. I'm not saying we're going to see him in this series, but
we might see him in Ahsoka.
But we're going to see him in something. Yeah. Like I do not think they would not drop that in the show so casually. Especially since that's one specific Jedi.
And if you haven't watched Clone Wars like me, further reason to start watching it.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of work to do before Ahsoka and Tale of the Jedi.
There's a lot of things. We'll talk about it next week. A lot of it,
yeah.
So anyways, we continue with this, and she shows, you know, we have after she basically said that no one comes here, and they have this discussion, and they're talking about different things, and like, you know, the... Long story short, like Leia wants a blaster, all these things. Knock, knock, knock at the door outside, not their door, but the door that they came in through at the beginning. Stormtroopers are there and it's not looking great. So the supplier droid answers the door and he doesn't speak, obviously, and they're interrogating the droid that doesn't speak. The other stormtrooper has to remind him, hey, like he's a supplier droid, he doesn't understand you. Because somebody tipped them off that there's a Jedi that came into the village. So somebody saw them. And the
not Frick.
Yeah, not Frick. He's knocked out. But the droid, we get some couple of shots that he has this giant hammer that he's holding in one of his hands.
Hiding his back. Yeah.
This droid was about to fuck up some stormtroopers.
Because he's a big droid.
He's huge.
He's a big boy.
He's almost two people height-wise, and he looks like he's built like a truck. So like he would not have gone down easily. I kind of thought we were going to break some eggshells, so to speak. The eggshells being the helmets of the stormtroopers. So I was a little disappointed it didn't happen. Would have loved to see that. I do like that droid quite a bit. Yeah, actions speak louder than words. What can you say? But yeah, they manage to just leave because they're just like not going to waste their time with him. And she's like, okay, we're done here. She's like, we've been compromised. She takes off her uniform. She's like, I'm done. We're out. We're leaving.
Tells the pilot, we got to go now.
She's like, we got to go. Yeah, we're done. We got to go, dude. He's like, well, it's not time. He's like, I do not care. So they're just about to leave. Like, she hits the button. There's a tunnel, right? There's a there's an underground tunnel that leads them, like, I'm assuming, all the way to the spaceport.
Yeah.
But, and then I knew what was going to happen next when Obi-Wan looked like he was going to faint for a minute. He was, like, breathing heavily.
Very peaked.
Very, like, sound went muffled, hand against the wall, holding himself up. And, you know, it took some time, but sure enough, it's Daddy Vader, and he is there. And
he's not dead. He's just Darth. He's scary.
Some people think he's daddy. They're like choking. So anyways, but these people, by the
not
way.
Not neck snap. That's not
the these people guy. Did not like choking. So the Inquisitors stand back and watch the master at work because that's what he is at this point. He just slowly walks through this village, clearly trying to sense Obi-Wan. But I think at some point he either senses barely or just realizes like he's here. I don't know where, but he's here. And so he just does what any Sith does. He starts pulling random people and just starts killing them or torturing them with a chokehold.
Or he kills first the father and then the son tries to help.
Holds him up, choking him first.
Yeah.
Then snaps the boy's neck. all the while he knows he's
poor mother right there. Jeez.
Oh my gosh. He's doing this though to try to draw Obi-Wan out, like, because again, Obi-Wan's still a Jedi, and he's knows a Jedi. It.
Like we saw in the first episode, like they always reveal themselves. The Jedi way is there, and that's exactly how they do it.
Yeah. So he's, you know, Obi-Wan is, I mean, he's just in shock, really, and just watching this unfold, and Darth Vader's just hurting and killing more and more people. He's anyone who's in his
vicinity.
They're not even his path. They're in his vicinity. Keep in mind, they're not in front of him. They're way off to the side. Even some of them are in the house that he pulls out. Like, I mean, he is being... It is the most brutal... One of the most brutal Vader footage I've ever seen.
I think so, too. Like, the Force Chokes, it's like, yeah, you saw a lot of, like, people in the Empire die, but you never saw, like, a lot of civilians get, like, their necks snapped.
You saw rebel soldiers, et cetera, and even that was a bit rare, except for Rogue One, right?
But not back-to-back-to-back like this.
Oh, he is... I mean, it was interesting. We're talking, like, Vader probably at very much in his prime. I mean, he's... At this point, he's in his 30s. He has definitely learned how all his... to be basically more machine than man. This guy is powerful, and... he is ruthless. So,
clearly.
And so Obi-Wan makes an executive decision, which I don't know about this. He tells Tala to take Leia and to go. And he is going to create a distraction. I don't know about this decision personally.
I think he wants to, like, you know, see for himself, talk to him. I think the Padme thing has been hanging over his head. I think the fact that he thinks he's killed him for 10 years and the guilt there... I think it's he has to go. Like,
a lot of things.
It's a culmination of too many things that he can't face this because he's been thinking about, like, that he's dead for such a long time and been so guilty for so long that he's like, I just have to see it for myself.
Yeah.
Which I think that's what it comes down to.
Right, but his main job is to protect Leia, but I think part of the motivation, I think
logic versus emotion. Like, emotion took over this time.
I don't know. I think part of the logic, though, is to create a distraction for them to... Because, Vader can't... It's not, you know, it's not an exact GPS. But he can sense Obi-Wan. So the closer he is to them, the more I think the path is just going to follow him to them. So I think maybe in some sense he thinks it's a better idea to send them and then divert their attention in a complete opposite direction. Which is what he does. He goes the opposite direction from where they're going. Problem is,
it's an open area almost.
It's wide open sand area. Like, I mean, honestly, Obi-Wan's at a huge disadvantage here. When him and Anakin fought the first time in Revenge of the Sith, they were on equal footing. Like, yeah, Anakin may have been a tiny...
Well, no, Obi-Wan had the high ground.
Yeah, but power-wise, they were very similar. Anakin maybe had been a little bit more powerful even. But Obi-Wan was more logical, strategic, and calm.
Also had been connected to the Force, had not cut himself off for
exactly
10 years.
10 years later, Vader has nothing but practice murdering people and using the Force and the dark side and everything else. And Obi-Wan has not. He is borderline afraid to even use his connection to the Force. So this is not a fair fight. He is going to lose here. He is just buying time. And what was really interesting to see was a scared Obi-Wan.
Yeah. We also see his lightsaber for the first time, and we see some
finally
pretty rough lightsaber fights where he...
Oh, my gosh.
He's so weak, and he's like, Master, you are not good.
I don't think he said Master. I think he said Obi-Wan.
Did he say
Obi-Wan? I don't think he called Master.
I thought he said
my old Master.
My old Master, yeah.
But either way, Vader is beating his ass with
like
one
age
arm.
Has made you weak, I think. He said Master, age has made
years.
You weak.
Years have made you weak. Yeah, he's beating his ass with one arm, and Obi-Wan's using both arms and just literally powering through him like it's nothing. Then he uses the other arm to force push him. I mean, it's brutal.
Force choke. You can't forget the Force choke after he knocks over a barrel.
Well,
I didn't understand at first.
I wasn't there yet. I was more going to say, like, how interesting it was that of all the people, everyone that we've seen, like, has kind of, like, had, like, a horror movie effect when they see Vader. And this is the first time I've ever seen Obi-Wan or ever have that reaction to him. You would think that somebody who actually knows who it is maybe wouldn't. But Vader's a terrifying figure at this time period. Yep. And almost everyone who sees him doesn't live to talk about it. So that's why he kind of remains a shroud of mystery as well. Like, this is a brutal, this is the scariest person in the galaxy. That's all there is to
it. Period.
And even Obi-Wan is afraid, especially with somebody who has not been connected to the Force or practiced at all. And yeah, the next phase, is, I mean, this is incredible, honestly, to see Vader like this, in my opinion. He wants Obi-Wan to have a taste of what happened to him. He hasn't forgotten anything, by the way.
The pain.
He is obsessed with Obi-Wan. He even says the line, "You made me into this." He said, what have you become? He's like, "What you made me."
Yeah.
And slowly chases him. It is very horror movie-esque. And yeah, you're right. He blew up the barrel that was combustible and starts to drag Obi-Wan through the fire.
The coals, basically, and just he's like, this is the beginning of pain.
Yeah, he doesn't want to kill him. He wants to take him alive and just torture the ever-living hell out of him.
Because to be fair, like, obviously Anakin, now Darth Vader, went through a massive amount of pain when he was both had all four limbs taken off. He was burned alive, was barely alive.
Oh, and for those who think that that suit makes him not be in pain, actually quite not true at all. Vader's suit very much makes him in pain. Sidious likes Vader to always be a little angry or a little in pain. It is by design. So this man basically lives in pain all his life and angry all his life. And he definitely blames Obi-Wan, which I find interesting because he's very corrupted at this point, right? Like, I feel like he's so much far gone to the point where I wonder how this is going to play out because, I mean...
Well, even he goes, "You should have killed me when you had the chance."
I think part of him wishes he had.
I think so too.
I think 100%, like, that was not a throwaway line. I mean, you kind of say that in like good guy, bad guy films a lot. And a lot of times that's mean more like you should have killed me when you had a chance, man. Oh, cause I'm gonna bust you up. I don't think that's really like he is saying that partially, but I really think it's because he's like, I kind of wish you had, but since you didn't, I'm going to make your life hell.
Yep.
Whereas other times they're really just the bad guy gloating. And I don't think that's what this 100% is. So I found that line very interesting for Vader.
So before we skip to the next part of Obi-Wan's track, let's go to Reva.
Oh, freaking Reva. Okay, and again,
one note.
Actress is doing great. Nobody jump in the comments. It's a
story arc that is repetitive for me.
She's told to do one thing, completely ignores it, and like
focused on Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and so she methodically goes through the safe house, figures it out. Sees the symbol for the Jedi, by the way, and
in the safe room,
loses her shit, which again makes me almost 100% convinced that is her in episode one in the very beginning.
Yeah,
and then she finds the tunnel, and so she goes after Leia because Leia, right before this, has convinced Tala to go help Obi-Wan. She's like, "He can't do this by himself. I know the rest of the way. I just run straight, and then I'll get to the spaceport. I'll be fine."
Yeah,
right, and so. She agrees, which,
surprise,
and she goes and helps Obi-Wan, but we go back to this whole Reva thing. She's on a warpath, and I don't know what even really compelled her to go this way. I thought she was obsessed with Obi-Wan, but I guess she thinks if she...
Obi-Wan might be here.
She thinks, if I get to Leia, like, I'll get to Obi-Wan. She knows that connection now.
True.
And she doesn't know who's down the tunnel. She could also be looking for Obi-Wan. Anyway, so then Obi-Wan looks like he's about to like get dragged through like it's Mustafar, but Vader stops. He like does a little force push, blows out some fire, pushes Obi-Wan back just a little bit, and
stormtroopers show up too.
Well, he tells the stormtroopers to detain him because what Vader wants to do again is not kill him, torture him, make his life horrible. He wants him to feel the pain he's felt 100 times over. And right about that time, Tala gets there, takes out a stormtrooper about to grab him. And I thought she was going to then try to shoot Vader and the other stormtroopers. I was like, this is just not going to end well. But she doesn't. She's very smart. She blows up the rest of the tanks, which creates a huge fire. Like can't get past it fire.
And you hear this in the audio if you actually listen to the subtitles. You're like, the flames are too hot. The smoke, we can't see anything. What's happening? Like, nobody can see anything. Nobody knows what's happening.
And we have a really cool cinematography with the flame in the
eyes
of Vader's mask.
Which feels similar to when, you know, Anakin's on Mustafar. You see the same thing when he's with the lava.
It's a really good callback to Revenge of the Sith and just a really interesting thing. that, you know, Vader was going to use that to torture Obi-Wan, and he doesn't look fearful, but he's staring at it, like, almost as if he's reflecting, because I was, anyways, so.
And the droid saves Obi-Wan.
The droid who walked out when Reva walked in goes and grabs him, and then the droid and Tala go somewhere, apparently. That's the only problem I'm kind of confused about, because, like, how far could they really have gotten?
They don't seem to have gone very, very far.
Then they're gonna die. But anyways, his arm is bad. It's his arm is...
toasty.
Very burned. He's not great shape. She tells him he's gonna live. We'll see about that. I mean, yes, he does, obviously. But I kind of curious how this plays out, if she even lives. But we'll see. And then we cut back to, you know, Leia, who gets in the tunnel. And sure enough, shocking, Reva's there waiting for him with a dead pilot. And so now Reva has Leia, and Tala has Obi, and Vader's nearby, and there's no way out of the port. Like, I just, to be honest, I really have no clue where this next episode's going.
True.
Like, I really don't, I have no idea. And we have only 3 episodes left. We're already halfway through the show, and I have no idea how we're going to wrap this up in 3 episodes.
There's a lot of things to fill up.
There's,
and again,
so much.
We are still begging for some Reva arc.
Like, I really am. I really am.
I need it.
And the end with her didn't really help me. Like, no. It made it worse, if anything.
It's more like, we're hunting. We're still hunting. Like, yeah. I'm hoping that now she's with Leia, Leia will ask some of those tougher questions.
Yeah, she didn't shut up. In a
no,
good
she
way.
She doesn't.
She asks a lot of questions. So that's pretty much it. For the most part, I really, really, really like this episode. It's so many interesting callbacks to the previous Star Wars films.
And also, I think it shows the lack of trust of Obi-Wan and how it is to a detriment, literally.
It's his detriment, for sure. It is beating the crap out of him. And that, in his lack of confidence, is also... In the next 3 episodes, I really think next episode, Obi-Wan's got to stand up and fight at some point.
He's got to get some...
He's got to connect with the Force again. I don't know. Will we see Qui-Gon? Maybe.
Will we see Quinlan? We don't know.
Maybe Qui-Gon will be the thing that pulls him out of this negative trance. Like, maybe there will be that conversation while he's unconscious that gets him out of this funk. That would be amazing to see. I'm not saying I have to have that. I'm just saying something has to change because we know Obi-Wan doesn't die, obviously.
And we got 3 episodes left. We gotta have a change here. It can't be negative for the next 3 and get to, you know, a new hope.
Yeah. And I see no way Reva living through this because she now is so close to Leia that there's just no way. I honestly just don't think she lives through this. There's almost no way she does. Because if she gets... thing I'm really confused about, if she gets close to Vader with Leia, I just don't see that really being possible, honestly.
Right.
So I'm very, again, she has her own agenda, clearly. I don't think she'll take Leia to Vader. I don't know what she's going to do next. But yeah, I don't know. I really have no idea what's happening next.
No, I don't either. But again, here's what I'm hoping for. Reva arc. Obi-Wan, stop being a sad sack.
Yeah.
Those are my 2 things.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say Obi-Wan being a sad sack has been a negative at all, by the way.
No, it hasn't. I think it's time now.
Yeah, now it's time.
It's time. It's becoming, like, he needs to have some trust. Like, he had to be broken. We all knew that. Because you lose your brother, your best friend, your apprentice, and you think you've killed him.
You lose your family. Your entire gigantic Jedi family.
Which we've seen just in this episode, like, this was your family. The Jedi had to be your family because you don't even remember your original biological one.
Yeah.
So now that we've come full circle on that, like, how do you grow again? How do you trust people again? How do you become Ben Kenobi that feels strong and fights and stands up to Vader in A New Hope?
You trust in the Force and you stop being Ben and be Obi-Wan Kenobi, for God's sakes. I really hate the name Ben Kenobi. I always have. But anyways, so... that's it. I really think this episode was fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to next week, though. I think compared to episode 1 and episode 2, leading into episode 1, 2, and 3, leading to episode 4, not a clue what's about to happen, which is going to be really good. Or
like, are they going to stay on the planet? Or are they going to get off? I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I don't know a single thing that's about to happen, whereas all the other episodes, I kind of had an idea, and I have no idea. So, check back next week. You can catch us at all podcast platforms and obviously YouTube.
We'll be chatting with Nerdy next week about this episode.
Yeah, we'll drop 2 episodes next week at different days. And yeah, we dumped 3 episodes today as a reminder. So if you want to listen to Clyde and I's review on all 3, you're welcome to. Please like and subscribe wherever you are listening or watching. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much, everybody. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on everything. Please comment below. And yeah, until then, until next time, Houtini friends, and may the force be with you.